Hi, I'm Harry Reeder, Senior Pastor at Briarwood Presbyterian Church, and this is another edition of Conversations with Harry and Bruce. But as you can see, right up front, Bruce is not able to be with us. He is concluding his quarantine from COVID-19, and for those of you who have asked, which are many, and those of you who have prayed, I want to thank you. I know he wants to thank you. He is doing very well, and looks like this, Lord willing, this coming week he'll be back in ministry. And we, of course, have had a number of our pastoral staff, as many people know, that have contracted the disease, and but are making good progress. So continue to pray for them. Thank you so much. We're grateful they didn't get it here, but they wanted to make sure they didn't bring it here, so they have quarantined as well. So, this really opened a great door for me, because Bruce and I had been talking about having back with us Alton Hardy, who is planting the Urban Hope Church in Fairfield, of which we've had the opportunity to be a part of that initiative. And I wanted to give just a little bit of background and then introduce him and then two of his leadership team. And, one of the leadership team is on our leadership team as well as his leadership team. Although I think the biblical challenge of how can a man serve two masters, you're able to pull it off, Noah. And then another person from his leadership team I want to introduce, Dion, as well. But thank you for being with us. In place of the devotional, I would just remind you that in the Word of God, if you'll look at the Gospels, you'll notice that it kept saying that Jesus, and let me quote Mark, Jesus went immediately to the next town. Jesus went immediately to the village. In other words, Jesus, when he is fishing for men with the gospel net, goes to the fishing pools. The fishing pools are places where populations gather. The city's origin was out of rebellion to God. You can go check that out in the city of Babel. And but that's fine. And that may be what it originated to do. But that means it then becomes an objective of gospel ministry. Because if that's where people gather and they are in rebellion against God, then they need to hear the gospel, and we need to go to them with the truth of the gospel. You'll also see in the book of Acts that the apostle Paul went to 28 cities. And some of the cities were key cities where he planted a church from which churches were planted. You know, Jesus says in evangelism, we are to go into the highways and byways. So you can see the strategy of the apostles. If Jesus said to get to the highways and byways to compel them to come into the kingdom, then what we need to do is to plant embassies of the kingdom that equip people to go into the highways and byways. So how do you get to the county seat? Well, you go to the larger city to reach the county seat, and then from the county seat to the villages and to the towns and then out into the rural areas. And you can see that's what's happening as the gospel turns sinners right side up. And that means it turns the world upside down in the book of Acts. So that's what we get the opportunity to see and to experience. And that's what we try to do with the church planting ministry at Briarwood. Now, of course, when you're going to your own Jerusalem, Birmingham, you want to be thoughtful and strategic. So what happened early on in God's kind providence, Briarwood has been able to be a part of a number of wonderful ministries. And when I came and we were just looking, I said, isn't it interesting in God's providence that almost all of them are in the Fairfield area? The Restoration Academy, Miss Lois's home, Grace Home, various other initiatives, and even some since I've been able to arrive here. But as I said to our elders, we were talking about it. Well, it was almost like we've got all the spokes of the wheel, but we don't have the hub. The hub would be a church. Briarwood's too far away to be the hub, but we could be part of a hub being placed there, a local church. And that's where God brought into our lives the opportunity to meet Alton Hardy. who had been in ministry in Grand Rapids, loved the Lord, and so we could pursue the finishing up of theological education. And then through our presbytery and other churches as well, we've been able to see what the Lord could do through his ministry there. So I want to introduce Alton Harding, who is the church pastor and planter of this mission endeavor, Urban Hope, in the Fairfield city. And then his compatriots, Noah. And Noah Despenasi is not only working with them and has worked with them, is on our staff as our director of urban ministries. So he's kind of our liaison as well to help our congregational communities and individuals who are interested, particularly in this work, to be connected and keep us as a church building relationships with each other. Not just, they need financial resources. That's obvious. And that's clearly something that we can be engaged in. They need intercessory prayer. That's something we must be engaged in. But that we also need relationships. And that's one of the things that Noah is also helpful, able to help us do. And then Dion Watts is the director of outreach there. And so I'm going to give you a chance to meet all of them. But first, I want to take just a moment for you before you hear from them, and then I'm going to ask a couple of questions. I want you to just get a feel for what's happening. Some of you have seen this. It's on our website, and I think we may have shown it here in one of our national missions conferences. But I want you to see the wonderful, informative, capturing the challenge and the heart of the Urban Hope Mission missionary endeavor and church plant there under the leadership of Alton with his leadership team. So I'm going to ask that they play that for you, and you can now listen to it.
Fairfield was founded in 1910 to be a model city for the people that worked in the steel industry. I believe that God created Fairfield to be a model city, not only for the steel workers, but for the world.
People in Fairfield, they don't know it, but they're walking in darkness.
Fatherlessness, poverty.
You hear about the crime. You hear about the lack of educational resources.
And people are just been locked into it. It's like, this is all that it is. Death, young men going to prison.
And what happens when you're in a dark room is you really can't control that. Until somebody else comes into the room and turns the light on or shows you where the light is, you're pretty much stuck where you are. And so I have a desire to see people in Fairfield be transformed by the gospel and to let Jesus become Lord of their life. Briarwood and our work with our partners in Fairfield is awesome. I love the different, the mission and the visions that come along with these different ministries that we have, providing education, providing good medicine, providing resources, just all these things matter when it comes to revitalizing the community. But in particular, at Briarwood, we know as a church that we have a heart for church planting. And I'm thankful that we have a church plant here in Fairfield by way of Urban Hope Community Church. And God is doing some amazing things through that church plant.
We're a ministry that's endeavoring to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ of word and deed into what we call the hardcore inner cities of America. And right now, we're doing it here in the city of Fairfield. So if you're in any inner city, we know that the family structure has been fractured. So we came in preaching Jesus loves marriage. And so we perform marriages among people that they are first in their families. Let that sink in. They had never heard the theology of marriage. And they tell me all the time how it has totally changed their lives.
It's not just coming in painting a house. It's not just writing a check. But we can get really creative, and we can use the gifts that God has given to his people, and so that they can come and help.
When I first got involved with Urban Missions, what came to mind was going doing something in a place I didn't live, even though it was close by, and then going back home and it being a separate part of my life. I learned that in order to really do urban mission, you have to be willing to build relationships. So it very quickly went from urban missions being something that I do on the weekend to being a part of my life and relationships with people that I really love being around.
I want to see God use Briarwood to do something that's never been done, and that's to build relationships where people from Fairfield and Briarwood are able to call each other brothers and sisters in Christ and to share that love with each other and to see that outlast generations to come.
I truly believe for such a time as this that God has allowed for Urban Hope Community Church to come to existence in this moment and to be a trailblazer of doing urban ministry beyond just the handouts or mercy ministry devoid of the Word of God, that this is a prototype of how we plant churches within these inner cities.
I believe that God, He's calling us today as Christians to come to Fairfield, to come to the model city, to come to the city that's going to be a light unto the world. Everyone I knew could be a part of the Urban Missions team. I never knew how much it would bless me. Don't miss out on the blessing that God has for you.
I've always wanted what I would call my Christian brothers and sisters from the conservative arm and perspective to be a part of the work in the ministry that would be gospelly driven in the inner cities like we've never seen before, and that when the world would see us, they would know that it was God.
Well, Alton, having seen that, and I'm sure that people are excited about it, and now we get to talk to the man. You're the man that God's called to lead this endeavor. And would I think, just take a moment. Now, you're no stranger here. You preached to Briarwood. We have folks that minister there with you at Urban Hope out of the church family here. And so we're grateful for all of that. Some of our members actually moved down to be a part of what you're doing there. And we're grateful for that as well. So, but Alton, just can you, your testimony, while it's profound and can and certainly would seep into this, but I want you to talk about why did God bring you from Grand Rapids and why are you over at Fairfield? What is it that God's called you to do there and why? And you got to do that in 25. You got to do that in 25 words or less. I'll give you 50.
Great question, Pastor Reeder. You know, we believe that when God calls us into the kingdom, that He has an intentionality with that, a purpose, purpose driven, in a sense that we were born for something to complete a work. And I would say just my life in general, being born in Sardis, and just all of the experiences the Lord has just allowed for me to experience, to have come in my life. And so God just burdened my heart for urban ministry. And just because I was put into what I call a reformed world life church understanding, and it just for me, I said, man, well, first of all, when I first came into world reformed thinking, man, it was different, but it was meat on the bones. And, I mean, of course, if you've talked to me for a while, I mean, my biggest thing I love to talk about is the sovereignty of God. That's really has been a lifeline for me to help me understand my life, not from my perspective, but from God's perspective. And so I would say, I was born for urban ministry. My life has been a part of that. Poverty, fatherless, you name it, homelessness. And I've just experienced that personally and met God in that, and God has just made sense of it. And so, but coming into here in Birmingham, God set me up. I mean, it was funny. I'm sitting here now. I'm like, man, it was first here on this platform that I got introduced to Birmingham. And here I am now, 8 years later, what God has done.
8 years later. I can't believe that.
And so it's, yeah, and so, but I think our inner cities need, a robust gospel. Something that's not fluid, that goes and comes with the times. I mean, there are all kinds of worldviews that are encroaching upon the church. And what I love about the theology that the Lord has brought me into, that it's not always being shaped by the culture. It's been shaped by our triune God. And so with that being said, we need church like that go into these hardened urban communities, preaching a robust gospel. And I think for such a time as this, God has brought Urban Hope Community Church, and we have not tried to take shortcuts. We've been very strategic in that we're saying we know that the family is foremost, the first battle line, the battleground where theology and the worldviews and God's blueprint for the family comes head to head. And so that's where I think Urban Hope and how God has brought me into that. And that's been my biggest desire to see God do that. And he's doing that. So,
you know, I know you've tackled the work of the gospel. Number one, to get a right relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. Then you begin to disciple. And as you begin to disciple, you highlight the need for a godly marriage and a godly family. And now what's interesting to me, and Alton, you and I have talked about this many times, but when I was growing up, all of the horrors of the Jim Crow laws were, just despicable.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful that they are being and have been dismantled and need to be further the remnants of it. Mm-hmm. But in the midst of that, the one thing that was noteworthy, I mean, it was conversational. The African-American family was rock solid in the 1950s.
Yes.
I mean, it was just the picture of the granddaddy and the daddy going to work with the pail in the hand and getting off of work. And what else do I need to do to put food on the table? And they weren't touchy-feely daddies. Yes. I can tell you that. Yes. I've met them. They weren't touchy-feely. They wasn't like, well, let me go hug you, because they didn't have time for that.
Yes.
It was, I'm going to love you. I'm going to put the food on the table for you, and I'm going to see to it that you're going to school.
Yes.
Best school I can get you into.
Yes.
And then, of course, came this destruction. Now, I think there's a lot of maybe well-motivated policies that were a part of that and everything. But now you're at the other end of it. And now you said something to me the other day. Y'all are about to have a marriage, and then in your video you make the point that there's some that their way of life they don't even know about any concept of a marriage.
Yes. Yeah, I would say you just hit it on the head. Our inner cities, especially the poor, marriage and the blueprint of marriage, as from God's vantage point, has totally been removed from our culture, from our way of understanding. And I would make the argument that some of the policies that came from the government, whether intentionally or unintentionally, they still got what they're intended. It came against what God has said to build family with. So it's disintegrated the family. And all you have to do is do the research. We just watched a video. I would encourage Briarwood people to go watch it on Amazon Prime. It's called What Killed Michael Brown. And it's Michael Brown's around it, but it's more about the African-American family. I will tell you, it will make you cry. Shelby Steele did it. It's a documentary.
Yeah, Shelby Steele.
Really good.
Great thinker. Yeah.
And Pastor Reed, all of the social pathologies that we see in the urban inner cities, and not just with African-American people, with hillbilly elegy, you see all of that comes directly out of that family structure.
I want to come back to that in just a minute, but thank the Lord that he's already blessing your ministry, and one of the blessings is pulling together a leadership team.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this young man is now a part of it, Dion Watts. And speaking of family, I understand you're about to get engaged. Or you've just been engaged.
That's right. That's right.
And we don't even have to get off the platform to connect that dot.
We don't.
No. So you are engaged to this fellow's sister,
right? That's correct. That's correct.
This is what we call at Briarwood ecclesiastical incest.
I like that. We kind of enjoy
meeting each other and seeing what the Lord does. Dion, give a little bit of your background and what do you do at Urban Hope and where did you come from?
Right. Well, I'm a native of Fairfield, so I was born there, raised there, come from a single-parent home where it didn't have that dynamic. The family structure was not intact, like we're talking about. And so I'm very aware of the issues from my own personal experience in the way I grew up. And so, that's what the dynamics that I come from. And I'm at Urban Hope because I'm the director of outreach now. And that was a long journey. That's just a new position that I've been placed in. I've served in the roles of the controller, handling all the accounting as well, because that's some of my background. But because of the way that I grew up, as the Lord saved me and brought me out of that, and He really put on my heart a burden for young men that would come from similar situations that I came from. And that's where the Lord has really built a foundation in me and a desire in me to serve in that context. And so when Pastor Alton came along and he shared his vision, I connected with him immediately because I knew that God was calling me to be a part of a greater work that was going on in the city of Fairfield. And so that's why I'm here.
That's great. And are you taking any theological classes right now?
Yes, I am a student here at BTS, so getting trained up.
And I was going to ask you who your favorite teacher is.
We'll leave them unnamed.
Well, that's great. And so then many of you know Noah and his wonderful wife. And but I'm going to let him share just a minute about that. But just so y'all know, Noah is theologically, and you haven't finished your degree yet.
Not yet.
We're making progress.
Yes, we are. Yes, sir.
And wonderful, beautiful wife. So many of you have met him, and he is our director of urban ministries and works very closely with multiple ministries that we are engaged in the Birmingham area and beyond, but this is a primary emphasis, and so he spends a lot of time interfacing with Alton's team and the church there at Urban Hope. But Noah, go ahead and go from there, okay? Tell me a little bit about yourself and what you're doing.
Thank you, Pastor Reeder. Well, I serve, as you said, as the Director of Urban Missions, and I have the responsibility of championing urban ministry here at Briarwood. Helping galvanize individuals who are interested or who have a heart for what the church plan, other ministries in Birmingham and Fairfield are a part of, which is restoring the community, helping people who come from broken families, who come from challenged situations, who are considered to be the marginalized in our community. And so we have a lot of that going on in our backyard right here in Birmingham. And so Briarwood has a commitment to seeing Birmingham be restored in a gospel way from a biblical perspective. And so in my role, I'm connecting people here with people in Fairfield for godly relationships and just ministry opportunities. And so that's been an awesome journey so far for me. I've been in the role coming on 3 years now. And so, one of the things that I try to share with people is that I don't want it to be a one-size-fits-all approach to ministry. And so, in engaging with Briarwood members, I love to learn about who they are and what they're gifted in. And so, like we talked about, God has created us all, and He's individually, given us, different things that interest us and that we're sharp or that we're really good at doing. And so some of that plays itself out in our careers, and some of that plays itself out in other things. And so I like to tell people when you talk about ministry in a community that you may not be familiar with, particularly in Fairfield, there's a lot of different ways you can help out. And so there's some avenues there through our ministry partnerships like Restoration Academy, Grace House, Aspire Movement, Hope Health Center, phenomenal ministries,
foundations,
right? Thank God for all of those ministries. I've also seen God just use people in their individual careers or their gifts or their skill sets to be able to connect, resources. Like if you're a business owner, being able to help Dion and Pastor Allison get a guy a job who doesn't have one. Or if you're a lawyer, being able to advocate for someone who may have some legal issues, or whatever. If you're good in finances, whatever it is that God has gifted you with, I want people to know that that particular thing can be a resource and be helpful in the work that is happening in our communities. And so I just get the pleasure and honor to be able to do that here at this church. Man, I'm also big about equipping our members as well. I think there are a lot of people who have good intentions when it comes to wanting to do ministry, but may not necessarily know all the facts and details. And so, I love recommending certain books and really just sitting down and helping people process, okay, what is happening in our community and what's the best way to go about resolving some of that. And so,
yeah, one of the things that really has blessed us is Noah has built relationships throughout our church, and one of the reasons we was able to do that is he actually is also a product of the Briarwood Fellows ministry. Yep. And so while he was here, he was able to build relationships and then know a lot of these people that have been involved. Of course, Miss Lois has now gone to be with the Lord, a Grace Home, but the Malones and the Foundations and the Kynards now, who are also involved in that ministry. And I could go on and on. I'll start leaving people out. But, we've got the Hope Clinic. We've got the Restoration Academy, the Aspire with Jason Williams. And so all of those things, there are multiple. But like I said, I really want you to hear this matter of the Urban Hope Church, because that's the hub. It's wonderful to have those spokes. Mm-hmm. But when those ministries are doing what they're doing, you really need them to have pastoral resources in a godly church in the community that's solid theologically and philosophically in ministry. And secondly, those churches are the places where the people those ministries reach ought to be brought so that they can be discipled and shepherded and developed. Mm-hmm. The parachurch ministries are wonderful, but they're parachurch. The church is what God's intention is, and that's what Jesus loved the church, and he bought it with his blood, fills the church with his spirit, and gives us our mission to go and make disciples, which now brings me back to Alton. So, Alton, I was thinking about maybe asking this question of you, and I really would love to hear what you've got to say. If there, I know I'm a pastor, and we talk. We both tend to be visionary, which causes other people like our elders heartburn.
Yes,
but it's like the old good to great, the hedge. The hedgehog? Principle and to be effective, you've got to know what that one thing is that you stay focused on. It becomes a fixed point. And if you were to say, okay, the one thing I know every day, it's not the only thing I'm going to do in ministry, but the one thing I know is I'm going to be committed to this with the anticipation of what? That's what I would ask you. Where is that? That when you get up every morning, it turns the alarm clock into an opportunity clock. I'm getting up out of bed and I'm going to get this done as the church planting pastor of Urban Hope. And this is where my focus is. And this is then what is the anticipation that if you do that, what are the things you want to see come from that?
Yes, that's a great question, Pastor Reader. I am deeply moved and burdened by the reality that, first of all, we're celebrating Advent, that story is not a fantasy. That's a real story. That story changes and transforms lives. The heart of God coming into the world as a man, a human. Therefore, in a community where I live, where people have bought into what I call a lie that they are somehow inherently can't achieve, can't be what God has called them to be. And therefore, we like to say that they have taken on the beliefs of the Egyptians. Because we're, as a mission vision of our church, is leading people out of Egypt to the promised land. I am moved by that, motivated by the fact that God is real, and therefore it took God a long time to break the victim mentality off of my mind. And so therefore I wake up every day in Fairfield telling young fatherless men and women, no matter who they are, this Jesus who was born of a virgin is the real deal. Come to him. Run to him. Whatever you need to do, and doesn't care what Big Mom said, who said this, that you can't be something, because right now, all over these inner cities, communities, people have bought into a lie. And that's what you see. And so I am moved by to try to raise up men you see here who will take this not only to Fairfield, to Bessemer, to Eastlake, to Gate City, where you see in these pockets of communities where there's just boundless fatherlessness, you name it. It's been happening for so long. It's almost just like, can God do anything? Yes, he can. But it comes back to the reality, or starts with, do I believe that he can? And I am moved by that, and I'm trying to inspire others through the gospel. And this is why it's important for the church. And I mean, when I first got here, you so eloquently talk about this. I come from a parachurch where I get it, I understand it. But what makes the church important, we preach. There's something that preaching does that you can't do. The power of God is communicated through the preaching and the teaching of his word.
Amen.
And so I think, and that's where through, as the word of God says, through the foolishness of that preaching, sinners are made alive by the working of the Holy Spirit. And I think in many ways what we've done to the inner cities is that we've tried to charity our way for them to be transformed. And what we're saying, guys, nothing wrong with that. But if we don't have a preaching that precedes the charity, we will have what we've been getting for the last 40, 50 years, and we're not getting the transformation. And so this is why it's so important for church planters to understand. And that's why I love Briarwood, because your focus is, you know, back on, we need church planters who stand and preach. People ask me, why are you getting all these young men married? Well, that's a messy message. It's very, I don't know how else to say it.
Well, it's counterculture.
Exactly.
Where you are, that's counterculture.
Yes.
But it's biblical culture in the life that you're starting to live out the Great Commission and the Great Commandment.
And so that's what I'm moved by. So that's to me, I would say, it's easy to say, well, everybody's preaching the gospel. What I've learned to understand, yeah, I mean, there are all kinds of gospels in Fairfield. As Paul says in Galatians, you know, and there are many
different gospels.
Yeah, different gospels. I'm not talking about that.
Right.
I'm talking about that gospel that takes dead men and make them alive.
Yep.
And transform them from
Amen.
Victims to overcomers in Jesus.
Amen. We're going
to
start preaching.
Yeah.
Amen.
So don't get me started. Amen. That's what I'm
getting me.
Yeah,
get four me going.
On the platform.
I'm ready to amen. Let's go.
I'm talking about that one.
Yes, sir. So Alton, you know, that's it's what I tried to share with our folks the other day is that, you know, that I love the verse, Acts 17:6, that these people have turned the world upside down and
yes.
come here. But I make the point. I said, listen, they didn't go out to turn the world upside down.
Yes.
They went to turn sinners right side up.
And when they
turn
the world
turn right side up, that's what turns the world upside
yes.
down, because everything starts
yes.
changing,
yes.
just
yes.
like you're talking
yes.
about.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dion, in your area of ministry right now, and I want to get back to you on
yes.
something, okay? But, Dion, in your area of ministry, what right now do you see as your biggest challenge, which becomes your biggest opportunity as a Christian?
Well, it's just pursuing young men. You know, a lot of young men who...
Have you got some small groups that you're working with? And young
well, yeah, I mean, we work up at Fairfield High School. We work up at Miles College. And so just in some of the pockets there, the school systems, stuff like that. And then just young men that we come across in the community that we know. I mean, I grew up in Fairfield, so I know people in Fairfield. I've had former classmates, things like that, that I can, reconnect with. And so... I'm pursuing ministry for pursuing young men and trying to help them come to the realization that they need God, that they were created by him, and that they need him in order to understand why they're here, the purpose that Pastor Alton was talking about earlier, just pursuing young men and being consistent with it, because part of, you know, outreach is not just a one-time thing.
That's right.
It's a constant over and over and over again, constantly pursuing, like Jesus does with us.
That's right.
We constantly run from him, and he constantly comes after us. And so the pursuit and the consistency is probably the most difficult thing, because you just have to realize that you got to do this over and over and over again. You have to preach the gospel over and over and over again. And hopefully, eventually, that God's elect will hear it and they'll come to that realization and they'll be made alive. And so the pursuit is probably the most difficult part, because it requires you to come outside of your comfort zone and be sacrificially living for others. And so up at Fairfield High School, up at Miles College, just consistently doing it over and over and over again. Sometimes you get a great response and you have good weeks, but then you have bad weeks, you know, good days and bad days. And so it's just realizing that regardless of that, that God's with you and that we continue to pursue the lost.
You know, so folks, I'll do something I shouldn't do, but I'm going to do it anyway. So if you want to see the fruit of ministry, you just saw it. So here's a young man who is in a church responding to the leadership of the church planter that's there. And he was just sharing his ministry. A, it's a biblical ministry. B, it's biblical priorities. And C, good theology was all through everything he just said. I don't know if you heard it or not, but he talked about how regeneration precedes faith and repentance. He talked about how faith and repentance reveals the work of God's sovereign grace. All of those are built into everything that he just said right there. Well, that good theology doesn't just happen. That comes because he's doing his job, and that's what he's doing is now going to show up in young men's life, and that's how this thing gets done. It's called making disciples, and you see the fruit of it like that. So, Noah, if you would tell, which is, of course, your job, so you can do this, if you would tell our members that are watching, as well as friends, what would you say as urban director things, and let's just don't look anywhere else, because there's, like we said, there's foundations, restoration, there's all of that. But right now, look at the hub. What would you say to our people that, in addition to praying for this ministry, what are some things that they ought to think about how we can get involved? Now, I'm going to give a couple myself, but I want to, if you feel, I'd really love to get, as director, what would you want to say to our people?
Yeah, I would say, you know, based on our conversation up here right now, just talking about the church and the importance of the church is to, one is to, you know, make an effort to really understand what is happening in Urban Hope Community Church in the city of Fairfield. You know, one of the things that I recommend that our people do, not to take away from our church services but would love for them to come and visit, Urban Hope. They appreciate, you know, visitors.
We'll give them a pass.
Yeah. You'll give you. You get a pass.
But Alton has to sign it.
Yeah, has to sign it, right? Love, just to see a church plant operating in that community, to see the preaching being done, to see God bringing people from the community into the church, I think is a wonderful thing to be able to witness. But then I think just to find ways to, you know, build authentic relationships that can lead to deep and just long lasting ministry. You know, one of the things that I think people get excited about is, you know, some of these projects and some of these one day events and those things are good. Those things are needed. But if we're going to see long lasting transformation that goes beyond us in our lifetime, we have to be committed to the long haul. And so, you know, I think, you know, finding ways to come alongside the leaders who are already there. You know, not coming in with an agenda, but coming in wanting to learn from Pastor Alton, men like Dion, who are in the community, and asking them, hey, here's my heart. Here's what I'm good at. How can I serve you and the people that God has already brought you? And so, because we are about the church. And so we want to help the church. We want to stabilize the church. And we know there's different ways that we can do that. And especially in this season, I think it's important to you know, that people know that the church needs help financially. And so that's another avenue that people can help with and learn more about. And so that right now would be my message to our people, and especially going forward as we continue to do build relationships and come alongside Urban Hope Community Church. And so.
All right. So Alton, we'll get just a little controversial. And then I want to end with a question that I know you are really wanting to answer, but one you may not really want to answer, but because we'll be a, just a little controversial. So I did Today in Perspective, and mm-hmm. one of the things I've had to handle is the BLM and the Antifa movement, or the Antifa.
Yeah.
I've heard it pronounced both ways. But anyway, as I've looked at it, now I dug down to the BLM. So I said, you know, Black Lives Matter, absolutely. Is it okay to say Black Lives Matter? Yeah, just like in, you know, just like in Germany, it would have been okay for me to say Jewish Lives Matter. Yeah, mm-hmm. there's a time where you can be very focused. Mm-hmm. But the framework is every life matters because yes. we're made in the image of God. That's yes. the overall framework yes. from which you work from, is every life matters. Well, BLM pushes back on that.
Yes.
And then I say the gospel is the answer, and BLM says the problem is Christianity. Christianity is one of the problems.
Yes.
And the church is not the answer.
Yes.
And then it rejects the notion that life is intrinsically valuable because God has so declared it mm-hmm. by declaring us with dignity, made in the image of God. And so all of that Christian world and life view is pushed out by BLM.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we see all of this unrest and everything.
Yes.
So which, you know, I'll just go ahead and I'll jump the ship right here for me. I'll just tell you, that's one of the reasons I'm glad guys like you are there,
yeah.
because, I mean, your voice is a lot more persuasive than yeah. mine for multiple reasons.
Yes.
But so how do you take this on as an African-American?
Yes.
Because if you don't salute to that, you're going to get challenged. And I know that.
Yes.
So but what do you say in response to it?
Yes. First of all, I stay biblical, and that's part of it. And I have been pushed on that. Lost a few people along the way on social media, and probably will continue to lose people. Mm-hmm. And this is why this is important for Urban Hope Community Church for such a time as this. You know, in this message, we've been preaching Ephesians 3:10, the manifold. Not to try to go all into the Greek about that, but the people of God joined together. And I like to say white and black through the gospel of Jesus, through the grace given to us before time began. But as God is making it known now that we're joined together through the commonality of the gospel. And so what this BOM and things that these worldviews that will continue to come, I don't think we're seeing the rest of it. It's just more and more. And I've seen BLM and that whole movement pretty much, in many sense, paralyze a lot of pastors, churches. People are afraid. What should I say? What can I say? Especially as it relates to race. And so I'm going to say what God has said. I have made all the humans. And then what else did God say? You're all sinful. I take it right to the book of Romans. That's why I went to the book of Romans.
Romans 3:23. Yeah. All
means Greek and all.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all y'all.
All y'all. All y'all.
Doesn't matter what color your skin. So, well, let's start there. God made all the people. We're all sinful. We all need a Savior. So I started there. Now, people, of course, they don't like that. Well, because we know that it's a movement that's not coming with a world life, a biblical worldview in life. We know that. But what happens is, as many of my white pastor's friends were, well, I don't know, should I say this? Should I wear the t-shirt? Should I say all lives matter? I said, well, can anyone come up with a t-shirt and just print Genesis 1:26? How do we all get here? He made us in his image and his likeness. And that's what I have stayed with. I put it on my Twitter, my Instagram, and Facebook, or whatever. I've been consistent to say what God has said about how did we all get here. He made us in his image and his likeness, and we understand the fall from there on. And so that's, and now, when you hang out with Urban Hope, we have a wake up, we call it wake up on Wednesday nights. All black men, inner city, everybody's fatherless. And we go around the room. Here's what you would hear him say. And if Black Lives Matter people were in the room listening in, they probably wouldn't like it very much, because we actually, one guy put it on Facebook and he spoke up for me because he kind of shared what we actually see. The issues that are facing black young men in these inner cities, What was the number one thing that comes out of those conversations, you guys being there? What was the number one thing that they said?
Fatherlessness, broken homes.
Tears running down their faces. I would be a better person if I had a dad. BLM, not even on their website. In fact, BLM said, we want to make it more like that. They tried to take it down, but Dion took a screenshot, so we have the real website, what they had up there, because they tried to take it down. Is that what we want in our communities? If the guys that we're meeting with, Pastor, we don't have a dad. And so we basically ask people, if you want to know, I tell a pastor, you want to know what to say, come interview these guys and they'll tell you. We had young men at our prayer revival in Fairfield, and I end with this. We had them both share, and actually it was his brother. He got up and he shared his own story, and he said, guys, we need our dads. And that goes back to the church. If Jesus calls us to go into these communities and to preach the gospel, and help people to repent, to turn. What are they turning back to? And what are they turning away from? They need to turn away from trying to build families on their own blueprints and come back to the blueprint of God. And that's a part of the repentance. And that's a message that the church needs to carry first into these communities. Amen. And preach that in Gate City, preach that in Bessemer, preach that in all over America. Therefore, people, give them opportunity to return back to the order of God as it relates to his family. And so that's how I handle BLM, is stay biblical and just know you're not going to get any fanfare, and just know that this too shall pass.
So, folks, we've arrived at the end, and I've got to kind of stay on track time-wise. Mm-hmm. So let me finish up this way. I want to get back to Alton for one thing, and so let me just make some suggestions. If you sense that God's drawing your heart, now let me just say, in a general sense, you're already involved, because in our national missions ministry, Urban Hope is a key element, and we're grateful for the 8 years of partnership that we've been able to do. We're grateful for our families that have become a part of it there, and families that from here are supporting and connecting and all of that. But if you say, I am really interested in this, okay, the guy to my right is the guy you got to call and talk to. And Noah can really help you, kind of, as he said, explore where your gifts and your passions, and let's create some pathways so that you can kind of connect where your heart is. Yes, where the needs, we'll go there too. But also, where is your calling and passions? And he said, he loves to help you get equipped in it. Mm-hmm. So you want to contact Noah here at Briarwood, our urban director. And then to get to Dion, maybe the best way is to get to Dion through Noah, and he can begin to explore what some ideas might be of discipleship, fellowship. Hey, if young men need dads, some of you could be spiritual dads in people's lives and be available. And just the coaching and mentoring of life from a Christian world and life view that you've learned, all of that is a real, a wonderful possibility. Thirdly, I would say, please pray. Please pray for this work. I mean, what you just heard was significant statement that was not only biblical, but courageous. You and I have no idea. We think we have a hard time being able to articulate that in this world. If you were in his shoes saying what he just said, you would really be. You're talking about the tallest nail gets hit first on the plank. That's exactly what would happen. So we need to pray for Urban Hope. It is different because it is a gospel. There's no prosperity gospel there. There's not a therapy gospel there. There's not a social gospel there. It is a gospel there that has gospel words that lead to gospel deeds through discipleship. Yes. And that's what and that we need to pray for insight, wisdom, and courage for these, for not only Alton, but Dion and the rest of the team that is there. But there's also and we've got our support through Briarwood, but we've also got some very special opportunities. I know toward the end of the year, that's right in front of you. Alton, he's about to tell you something that's really important, because one of the things that a church is not a building. But in a place like Fairfield, to have an anchor,
yes,
that stability is key. What you're trying to stabilize lives in the gospel, to have stabilized present, and the Lord's opened up a door.
Yes. About 2 years ago, we were able to get a building that was right across the street from City Hall in Fairfield. It's called the Old Bargain Town.
You're right downtown.
Right downtown, right. Gary Avenue, right across the street from RA Restoration Academy. We bought that building for $27,000, and God opened the door for us to get that building.
Yeah, but let me say, I've been in the building, and $27,000 is a great buy for the location. Yeah, there is definitely some work got to be done on that building.
Yes, and we've raised about $600,000, and it was $1.6 million total to rehab this building.
And that's with a construction company, well known, but it's being very gracious in what they're doing.
Yes, signed a contract today. And so we need about another $1 million to come in over the next few months, 6 months here, so we can, we're starting next week. We already got a roof on it, and to finish it up, we don't want to stop and start. We want to start, finish the whole building. We're going to start with the facade, so you come down in about a month, you'll see the front entrance of Urban Hope. And this will help us, first and foremost, we get off an evening service. We may do an evening service, but we'll use it for more discipleship training and stuff of that, and be able to just do what God has already has us doing, but we'll be able to do it so much more. And we've been here for 8 years, and so this is the, God has just brought us to a place. This is the time, this is the moment, and this is just the, it just feels right, and it is right. And so, yeah, and so we're ready. So anything that Briarwood members can help, you know, we, you know, you can get in contact through us, our website, you know, construction companies. This is going to be a collaborative work. It's a lot of people working in on this project because we're an urban ministry, so, and we value to work with the urban poor. We are not going to leave the urban poor. You've hurt my heart on that. You've allowed me to preach that here. We are going to stay focused on the urban poor, so we need resources to be able to get this building, but therefore not be burdened by it. So we want to pay it off, have it done, and also just continue to do the good work of discipling young men who are fatherless, so we continue to get them married and have them, this is what you asked me, break the cycle. Can Jesus Christ break the cycle?
Amen.
I believe he can.
Amen. So, folks, thank you so much for joining us on Conversations. Look, if all else fails and you just say, I can't get connected, but I really want to get connected, call me. We'll get it done. All right? So don't hesitate on that. Love these guys. It's a great privilege to be in ministry with them. Great privilege for me to have them with you. Continue to pray for Bruce as he returns. I want to thank all of you that worked so hard in the walk-through nativity that became the drive-through nativity. And thousands of people have come. The sacrificial servant heart. The people that were in the line that you would think would be irritated. The vast majority, even though they had to wait, were so excited about their family having something to do, about the sacrificial work of everyone. And they were, many were so excited to see that many people coming. So thank you for that outreach this week, and pray for the, this last week, and pray for the outreach of the Hallelujah. And don't forget the five services on Christmas Eve, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 7 o'clock, candlelight celebration, 9 and 11 o'clock, the candlelight communion services. So thanks again, and may the Lord bless you this Lord's Day, and stay safe, but stay focused on Jesus. And isn't it wonderful to not only do a church on mission, on message, and in ministry, but to be able to be engaged in the extension of it with church planting and church revitalization in general, in the urban community in particular, and Urban Hope specifically. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. It's been great to be with you this Lord's Day.
Amen.